You guys got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We've just started the second letter. As you're going to find as we go through it, it's completely different than the first letter. Actually, it's probably the third letter. Some people say potentially the fourth letter that Paul writes, but it's got a whole different idea behind the second letter. Paul spends a lot of time in the second letter defending himself because there's been attacks on his credibility to try to undermine what he's preached when he was in Corinth and watched these people come to faith in Jesus. So it's got a little bit of a different twist, but today's text, just five verses, is about a topic everybody online and everybody in here is gonna be incredibly familiar with. So if you guys want to stand with me, we're just gonna read five verses. We're gonna walk through them together. Paul says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." You can be seated. Every person in here, pretty much regardless of age, generation, demographic, all familiar with the idea of suffering. Would you agree with that? We're all pretty familiar with it. And so Paul addresses that topic today, and I just want to take a look at it. We're going to focus on three key words from this text to sort of talk about what's here. Here's the first one, a filter. A filter. He starts in verse 3, and he says this, as he lays it out, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," online and here, everybody read it with me, "the Father of compassion and the of all comfort." So it creates this filter. So one of the great blessings of my life currently is that my 5-year-old grandson is living with us part-time. He goes from his mom's to his dad's, but we have him 4 days a week. And I am his hero, which is the greatest thing in the world, I'm gonna be honest with you. Right? He loves his pop-pop. When asked who his favorite person is in children's ministry, he says, pop-pop, right? His mom asked him why he loved his pop-pop, and he said, because he loves me. This is a picture of my grandson. So I bought some new swimming goggles. He decided to put them on upside down. So, but this is my swimming buddy, right? One of the most complicated parts of having Owen live with us is watching his mother parent him because he's 5. I don't know if you remember what it's like to try to parent a 5-year-old, but they know everything, right? They know it all, right? There's nothing they don't know, right? They're starting to develop not just their personality, but the part of the personality that you're not a big fan of, right? And so it's complicated watching her discipline him because there's times that I want to rescue him from any type of bad things happening to him, right? But I will say this about my daughter as I've watched her raise him for 5 years. Before she ever began to discipline him, to say no to him, to put him in a position where he was unhappy with the consequences of his choices, I watched her lay the groundwork for loving him in a way that he would always be able to have that filter, right? Unlike my father, who disciplined from a different filter, Harmony disciplines her son out of the filter of love and care. Because let's be honest, every 5-year-old's gonna get disciplined, yes? Right? What's important isn't that he will or he won't. What's important is that the filter in which the discipline comes matters. Before God ever begins to talk about suffering, he lays this filter out, and he says that God is the Father of compassion. In the Greek, some of your Bibles will translate that word mercy. It's the idea, right? It's the idea that there is emotion in God. There's a lot of times that we talk about God in a sense that he doesn't really care about how you feel. Listen, if somebody ever tells you that God doesn't care about how you feel, ignore those people. Because the Bible calls God the Father of compassion. That word in itself describes a feeling, that God is the Father of feelings for you. You may be online this morning, you may be in here this morning, and you think that God doesn't care about you. Let me be clear with you. God is a Father of compassion. Listen, if you've ever raised your kids, right, and you've watched your kids suffer, if you're a parent who's watched their kids suffer, bother you, yes or no? Of course it does, unless you're dead inside, right? That reality is exactly how God feels about you. He has a tremendous amount of emotional bandwidth when it comes to what you're going through. He is the Father of compassion. And then the Bible describes him as the God of all comfort. Everybody say comfort, right? So when we see that word, here's a picture that I drew off the internet that I think this is what we think of, right? This is Sunday morning, so probably not, but the Saturday night crowd, when I said comfort, they thought of Southern Comfort. That's why they go Saturdays, right? It's not really appropriate here, right? I'm sorry, Joe will be back next week, right? But this is the picture, right? That comfort, right? Like, listen, if you were raised in the Midwest, right, you know how important a comforter is, yes? Right? You know the power of it. And here's the thing about a comforter. What it actually describes is the result we want from being a part of that. Right? When we have a comforter, what we're actually wanting is that emotion, that feeling of what it brings. Unfortunately, that is not what the Greek word means when the Bible says that God is the God of all comfort. He's not a down comforter laying on you. That might be the feeling that you get when it's over, but that's not what the word is. The Greek word is the Greek word parakaleo. It's two Greek words, right? And the two Greek words mean this. Para means somebody that's close beside you, right? So if you're sitting in a row and somebody's sitting beside you, they are para, right? They are close beside you, right? And the word kaleo means to speak, to call, to encourage, to urge. And so here's the picture of a parakaleo. When it says that God is the God of all comfort, he is the God who is always near and he's always there to encourage, to lift you up, to exhort you, to help move you on. That may create in you this feeling, which is why we called it comfort. Unfortunately, we defined the word based on the outcome, not on the action. Here, let me read a verse to you, 1 Corinthians 16:12. Paul uses this word parakaleo. He says, now about your brother Apollos, I strongly, everybody say this word, urge. This is the Greek word parakaleo. So what he says is, I strongly got close to Apollos and I spoke to him to go with you, to go with the brothers, right? He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Then it says in verse 15, it says, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Everybody say that word. Urge you, brothers. Again, parakaleo. So Paul uses it and says, I've come alongside of you, and I'm sharing with you to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. Parakaleo is this idea that somebody comes close to you from a close space. They speak to you. They encourage you. They lift you up. And the Bible says that that is who God is. He is the God of all. Everybody say all. He is the God of all comfort. That means in each and every place, he is the God of comfort. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, when describing the confidence we can have in people who've loved Jesus and passed away, therefore, parakaleo, right? Come near people, each other with these what? Words. A parakaleo is something that speaks to me, someone that comes from a place of closeness and nearness and speaks to me in some way, shape, or form. And the Bible says that God is the God of all comfort. Listen to these verses. Psalm 119:71 says this, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Verse 50 says this in Psalm 119, My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. Your words of promise preserve my life. How about this psalm? Psalm 34, 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Why is he close? Because a para is always near, right? So he's close. Psalm 23, 4 says this: even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. You are my para, and your rod and your staff, they what? They comfort me. And then Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5, 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be what? Comforted. And listen, I don't have to tell you online. I don't have to tell you in here. You all know what it means to be comforted by God. How many of you in here have ever had a song speak to you in such a way that you knew God was speaking to you in that song? Anybody? Right? How many of you have ever had a verse that you could tell somebody, this verse God used to speak to me in some of my darkest times? Anybody want to testify? You know exactly what a paraclero does. For some of you, it was a poem. For some of you, it may have been a scene in a movie. It may have been a book. But God uses all things to speak to us in these darkest times. Why? Because his filter is this: you have no idea the depth of emotion I carry for you and what you're going through. And you have no idea that I am the person. I am the person who is going to be near you, and I am going to speak to you in each and every one of those circumstances. God is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And I don't know about you, but I am grateful that he has that filter when it comes to me. Anybody else want to testify to that? That's who God is. And here's why that's important, because here's the facts, right? The facts are, we are going to suffer in this world. Yes? Yes. We're going to suffer. Right? Listen, we do everything we can, or lots of parents do everything they can to prevent their children from suffering way too soon. And for some parents, they didn't care at all about launching their child into suffering from the minute they took their first breath until the minute they left their home. Right? The reality is, we suffer. This world is a place where others inflict suffering on us, we inflict suffering on ourselves, and sometimes the world is just a cruel, cruel animal. There's a family suffering in New Smyrna this weekend. A husband and wife were out, and they had a collision with a motorcycle. And in the ensuing fireball, both parents were consumed, leaving four children without parents this weekend. That's in our community. We had a call this week from our ministry partner in Guatemala. Just a very difficult place, beyond comprehension. And we got the call because one of the children sponsored in this place of ministry is sponsored by someone in this church. And we were told to pray for this child because his dad had tried to cut his penis off. And yet, as horrific as that sound, she said the best thing for that boy to do is to go back to his home, because if he's taken by the government, he'll be put in a foster home where there's a good chance he'll be taken and trafficked. Is our world a cruel place? It's unbelievably cruel. And that doesn't even begin to describe what you go through. You see, the Bible says that God comforts us in all our afflictions, right? There are two Greek words to describe suffering. Here's the first one. It's thlipsis. And here's the idea. It's the idea that there is a space that's closing in on you, and it causes great pressure, and it causes great weight to land on you. Anybody online, anybody in here want to testify that they felt the weight and the pressure of the world on their shoulders? Yes or no? Right? Everybody knows that sometimes circumstantially we feel the weight of the world. That's called tribulation. And then scripture describes another word called sako, and it is the emotional toll and the emotional weight we carry from the pressure of life. Anybody know the emotional weight that comes when life gets hard? The loneliness, the bitterness, the doubt, the anger, the fear, all those emotions that you deal with on a regular basis because life is hard. Because you didn't know your husband was gonna leave. Because you didn't know you were gonna be diagnosed with cancer. Because you didn't know you were gonna lose your job. Because you didn't know your child was gonna make that decision, right? We all know the external factors. What people don't know is what you go through inside. Aren't you grateful that God is the Father of compassion and knows that, right? He knows that. He knows the weight of what you carry, right? Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13. Check this out, right? Well, many, many, many of us know this verse, right? Enter through the narrow gate. Leave that verse back up. This word right here, narrow, it's the Greek word thalipsis. We just talked about it. It's the Greek word for tribulation. He says, enter through the gate of tribulation. Enter through the gate where there's going to be pressure, where it's narrow. Why? Because he says this, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Anybody watch the opening ceremonies of the Olympics last night or the other night? Broad and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, is it not? Listen, just eat, drink, and be merry. That's all they care about, right? And many are going to enter through it. But check this out. Small is the gate and what? Narrow. That Greek word is the Greek word tribulation. Listen, if you're going to follow Jesus, not just because the world's fallen, but if you're going to follow Jesus, the gate is narrow. It is already a gate filled with pressure, which means you're going to experience sorrow. You're going to experience deep emotional grief and pain and suffering. And he says that road's going to lead to life and only a few are going to find it. That's a part of the reason why so many people don't want to follow Jesus. It isn't because they don't believe in him. It's because it's too stinking hard. They don't want to deal with it. That's why the Bible says God is the Father of compassion and the God of what? All comfort. Because we need that. Anybody want to say amen to that? We need it. I find this funny, but another place that the Greek word for tribulation is used, it's used to describe marriage. I was going to bring that up last night on Saturday night's crowd, but I didn't figure they could handle it. So, right? But yeah, it's funny. Paul uses the Greek word for tribulation to describe marriage, right? But it's the life that we have. Jesus said it this way in John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world you're going to have what? You're going to have trouble. There's going to be external circumstances that are going to crush you. They're going to weigh on you. You're going to deal with grief that you never imagined, anger that you couldn't even believe existed in you, despair and hopelessness and fear and hurt. Why? Because the weight of the world, of the circumstances of your life are going to be so heavy. That's why that filter is so important, that we know that God is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And the reality is this, the world would want you to dummy it down. It would want you to say in your pain, listen, just distract it. Just distract it and it'll be fine. Just bury it, or let's do this. Let's just get it drunk. Let's just get it drunk, or let's just numb it on painkillers. Let's do prescription medication, or let's smoke a bunch of pot. Let's do whatever we can. Let's take whatever drug we can to numb it because we don't want to deal with it. And yet the Bible says that if you want to do it right, you go to the God of all comfort. Listen, there's people online right now, and there's people in here that in the middle of their comfort, they still never receive the comfort of God because they've never run to him. They run to the bottle. They run to distraction. They run to the work. They run to the job. They run to another person, right? They run anywhere else than God. How many of you online in here want to testify that you've run to God in those hard times, and he is truly the God of all comfort? Anybody want to testify to that? Listen, it is true that he is the God of all comfort. And it is a fact that we're going to suffer. Paul said this in Philippians 1:29. He said, for it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to what? Suffer for him. He says, since you're going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul says this, though, about our struggling in Romans 8. He says, what's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Listen to the first thing he says. Shall what? Trouble or nothing. Listen, if you're going through suffering right now and hardship and trial, it does not have to separate you. All you have to do is lean into God because he is your parakaleo. He is near you and he has something to say to you. Sometimes you just got to be quiet enough to listen. He is the God of all comfort. We're not going to avoid suffering and hardship and trial. We're not going to avoid the accompanying emotional weight that comes with it. We're never going to get away. And yet Peter says this in 1 Peter 4:1-2. Listen to this. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same what? Attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. How do we get to the same attitude that Jesus had about suffering? Because I don't know about you, but when I suffer, I feel like complaining. Anybody else? I feel like letting other people know, right? It's hard sometimes not to. And yet the Bible says that in Jesus' worst moments, like a sheep to the shearers, he went without a word. Have the same attitude. How do we get there? Listen, I want to share this last thing with you, and it's called finish, right? Listen to Paul's words. Maybe you've never heard him before, right? In 2 Corinthians 1, he says this. It's right there, verse 4, right? Listen to this. God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in what? All our troubles, all of our places of pressure. Why? Listen to what he says. Why are you being comforted? So that you and I can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have just received from God. Did you catch that? I suffer, God comforts. You suffer, I comfort. You see that? The reality is what you're going through, people have said this before, what you're going through may have nothing to do with you. You may be going through it so God can prepare you to become somebody else's parakaleo. How many people online in here want to testify that they know that God has used other people in their life to speak to them, to encourage them, and to get them through some difficult times? Anybody want to testify to that? Listen, that's called being a parakaleo. It's called being used, right? And the reality is, out in these hallways this weekend, we have tables everywhere, right? This is Serve Weekend. We're going to do this every year now, right? We have Mission Trip Weekend. We're going to have Serve Weekend because the statistics say this, 80% of the work done in churches is generally done by 20% of the people. This is a church community of about 4,000 people actively, which means when it comes to people who know Jesus, how many of those 4,000 should be serving? 4,000. That's the reality. And yet the reality is if statistics have any truth to them, there's a good percentage of you that aren't serving. And the question isn't why. I've done this long enough to know why you're not serving. I don't think you understand the power that you can use and that God gives you in serving. I want you to listen to this. Listen to John chapter 4, right? We all agree that life is full of suffering, yes or no? Some of that suffering is inflicted upon you by other people's choices. Can I get that? That's true. How about some of the suffering we go through is inflicted on ourselves by our own decision? Is that true? And some of it is just thrown at us because the world is a broken, messed up place. Yes or no? The Bible promises us that God is the God of all comfort, and he comforts us in all of our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort others with the comfort we just received. Listen to John 4. You know the woman at the well, right? The woman at the well whose life was a disaster, who ended up at a well in a desert at noon because nobody wanted to be around her and she didn't want to be around anybody else. Her life was such that the best thing to do was to suffer the heat outside of the city just to get water. And in that space, she finds Jesus, or Jesus finds her. And he has a conversation with her. And at one point in the conversation, this is what happens. Jesus says to her, call your husband and come back. And she says, here's the description of her life. I have no husband. Jesus says, that's not everything. You're right when you say you have no husband, but here's the rest of it. The fact is, you had five husbands. Now, whether those have been your husbands or whether those have been husbands of other women that you've had five. And the man that you currently have is not your husband. That's a lot of men for one woman. Yes or no? Not a good life. It's been difficult. That's why she's at the well at noon by herself. Listen to what happens. She said, what you said is quite true. The disciples that he had sent to town come back, and they were surprised to find a man talking to a woman, a rabbi talking to a woman, and a Jew talking to a Samaritan, but no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Listen to what happened. Read it with me. Then, leaving, say it with me, leaving her, stop. Do you know what that water jar was? That water jar was the external representation of her life. A life that included five men that were husbands, either hers or someone else's, and a life that included a sixth man that wasn't her husband. That water jar represented her misery, her pain, her story. Everything that was wrong with her life, that water jar reminded her. Listen, if you've got a story online in here, how many times have you told it? How many times have you told the story of your divorce, of your abuse, of your diagnosis? How many of you have told the story because you love your water jar, because it's your identity, it's what you buy t-shirts for, because this becomes your story? And yet when she met Jesus, the Bible says she did what? She left her water jar, and the woman went back to the town and she had a new story to tell, right? Why? Because she just met her parakaleo. God had just come near her, and look what happened. The Bible says she had a new story. Come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And the Bible says the people came out of the town and made their way toward Jesus, and many believed in him because of the woman's what? Listen, the world needs your testimony. How many of you in here right now and online have suffered? Yes or no? And how many of you have ever been comforted by God in your suffering? Yes or no? Listen, the Bible says this, you now have a testimony. And that testimony is what God uses to comfort other people when he gave it to you. And the reason why you need to serve isn't because we're short 10 people in children's, isn't because somebody needs to be dumb enough to serve teenagers, right? That's not the reason we need you. Listen, the reason we need you is because God has comforted you. And there's somebody out there who's got a water jar. It's got a story that's just like yours. And your story is different because you left your jar, because God comforted you. He gave you a song. He gave you a verse. He gave you something to move you forward. And if you don't serve, you never are in a place to share your testimony. Why do you need to be standing at a door every Sunday? Because somebody's gonna walk through that door and need your testimony. Why do you need to serve in children's? Because there's a mom out there that needs your testimony. Yeah, it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen the next week, but it will happen because God said, I comforted you so that you can now go and comfort others with the comfort I just gave you. I've been divorced. I buried a child. I've been fired and I've been homeless. Do you know how many people that God's given me to counsel over the years that have been divorced, that have lost a child? There are times I go home and I say to God, I'm tired of this. Send me somebody else. Do you know how many times that Joe has been called by somebody who just found out they were diagnosed with cancer? Your pastor's been dealing with leukemia now for almost 14 years. Why? Do you know how many times that testimony that God has given him has been used to comfort other people? And do you know how many times you've missed out on sharing your testimony because you just won't serve? Listen, the reality is this. The Bible says that they believed because of her testimony. But check this out. He told them everything I had done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Now check this out. Because of her testimony, they came to Jesus. And because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. And then they said this, we no longer believe just because of what you said. We believe because now we've heard for ourselves. Listen, there is a place that your testimony matters. I don't know what you've been through, but I know this, that if you've allowed God to comfort you, he's now equipped you to go and do ministry. Because at the heart of it, that's all ministry is, church. Paul said this, and we'll wrap it up. He said this in 2 Corinthians 7:5. We came into Macedonia This body of ours, he said, had no rest. We were harassed at every turn. We had conflicts on the outside, fears on the inside, both kinds of suffering. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by what? Say it with me. The coming of, when are we gonna get enough Tituses in the church? When are we gonna find enough people who will be used by God to comfort others? Paul said, we came into town and we were miserable, right? We were pressured on the outside, heavy on the inside, and God comforted us, and he used Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. Because when Titus came to them, he needed comfort. And he told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Do you think the world needs your testimony? Yeah, because God said, I comfort you in all of your afflictions, so you can comfort those in the same kind of affliction. I suffer, God comforts. You suffer, I comfort. I think the world needs that. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, quote that was attributed to him, to know even one life, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. The Bible says we've been saved by grace. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. But it also says we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared for us to do. Part of our preparation and the good works that we do is the stories that we tell. Will you tell the story of your water jar, or will you tell the story of your comfort? One will be a victim and one will be a parakaleo. The world needs more comforters. Would you agree with me, church? So Father, today my prayer is for our church. I know there are people sitting in here right now that are just in desperate need of your comfort because they're going through a weight, an affliction in our either internal or external. And God, here's what I know. I know that you've prepared somebody to be their comforter. Lord, I want those sheets filled up. I want people to serve. But I want them to serve because they understand, just like the woman at the well, that when you meet Jesus and you're comforted, you got something to give. You got something that somebody else is gonna need. So God, they'll only respond to you. So God, right now, would you sic your Holy Spirit on the hearts and minds of the believers within the walls of this church and within the ears of this message? God, would you convict them to tell their story? We pray in Jesus' name, amen.